Also, real quick, too, pray for Clyde. Clyde's going to be suffering for the next month. April's heading off to Kansas for a month. And so just continue to pray for him. Is your mom? And her mom's having some problems with her blood sugar, and not exactly sure. Her blood sugar continues to drop, and not sure what's going on with that. And they've done a couple tests, still can't figure exactly what it is. So just continue to pray for her mom. Let's actually do that right now. Dear Lord, I pray that you be with April, and so she's going to be taking the boys and heading down to Kansas. Pray that you'd be with her mom, Lord, during this time. Lord, I pray that you give the doctors wisdom to know exactly what's going on with their blood sugar. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help her to be an encouragement to them. Also be with Clyde as well, too, Lord, as he'll be without his wife and kids. And help us, Lord, as a church to come together and to help them out in this time of need. In your name, amen. Lord, never fun. And so just continue to pray for them. And also the Beerman's going to be taken off in a couple of weeks. And something seems like something's always going on, isn't there? And so Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says here, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fellowship is so important. This isn't kind of your typical Sunday morning message, but God really laid it on my heart as I was preparing to preach. And fellowship is so important for us as a church. What really separates us from a social club? If you think about it, a social club, you know, you get together and you get some people that, you get some, you know, maybe a little people have a little bit more money or they have something in common and they do something together. And the purpose behind it, maybe it's a shooting club, and they go out and they like to blow stuff up. Nothing wrong with that. I love shooting and all that just as much as anybody else. Give me a shotgun and a box of clays. And we were at Sportsman's Camp, and we set up all the different targets, and we're having ourselves a good time. And Chad's like, I need some people that can, you know, run different things. Preacher asked as well, too. And so we were kind of getting it on. I said, hey, I'll take care of the skeet. And we always do like a competition for to see who's the best overall. And so they said, all right, you get three shots. And I was like, okay, I know how to do this. And Chad got everything hooked up, ready to go. And everybody was across the other side doing a lot of the rifles and that stuff as well, too. Then they had the pistols that were just up a ways. And Brian Furr was taking care of that. And we're sitting there having a good time. People started coming by, and I was working the thrower and shooting. And then everybody kind of went back to the other side and started shooting the rifle. And Casey came up, and so he shot a couple bits and kind of stood around. And he said, boy, there's nobody over here. And I said, yeah, I know. He said, how many clays do we got? I said, well, we got some. And he said, let's have some fun. I said, all right. So we started shooting, and we started, you know, playing piggyback where if he missed and I hit and different things like that. And then some other guys started coming around and started shooting. Wyatt came around, and he's like, hey, son, what's fun? He grabbed his shotgun and started shooting, too. And then we went off to lunch. We came back, and after lunch, we always do a big skeet deal where we just shoot, and we go through a ton of boxes and ammo, and we just have a good time. Guys line up. After we're done with the competition, it's a separate one. We went down there, and preacher said, this all the boxes of clays we got? And I said, yes, sir. He said, what happened to them all? I said, we shot them. And he said, what? And I'm like, well, you left a thrower and a bunch of clays with me and Casey, and, you know, well, sorry, but we had fun, but, you know, what can I do? Yeah, I like shooting, and just as much as anybody else, especially shotguns. And we had a good time. But there's nothing wrong with the shooting clubs. You know, and there's nothing wrong with some other people that get together. And preacher always says, though, this isn't club men at our church. We have something different. We have a common person. We are all, we're supposed to be getting around, and it's all supposed to be a Christian type of mentality, where we're getting together away from the world. I love Sundays. All my friends are at church. I don't have any other friends outside of church. I don't. Some people do, and some people, they have other, you know, they have other people that they go and talk with, and that's all right. Okay? But we're not supposed to be a hermit. But for me, I work with a bunch of heathens, and I'm friendly to them. And but really, I invite them to church. I'll sit there and I'll be nice to them. We'll talk with them. But on Saturdays, they go out drinking. They go out and party. They go out and do all these other things. And then Sunday, they sleep it off and hope that it's gone by Monday morning. I'm not going to associate with that. I'm not going to get my kids around that. That's why I don't do anything with them. And not all of them are, you know, a bunch of drunks, but their lifestyles are completely different than mine. So I'm not going to associate with them. But when I come to church, I look at people that I like to enjoy doing stuff with. I see people that have the same mentality as me. I look at people that say, I may not be there, but I love God. I want to try to do what's right. I want to try my best to serve our Master in any way that we can. And it's people like that that I want to be around. It's people like that I want my kids to be around. I'm very picky about my kids and who they get to be as their friends. Now I'm telling them, hey, you can be friendly to everybody, but you've got to be careful who your friends are because they influence you. As a teenager, my parents taught me all sorts of things. And guess what? When I got around certain friends, I did not think about all those things my parents taught me. Why? Influence. And we've got to be careful about who we are allowed that influences our lives. And that's why I love coming to church. I love getting around. I love Sunday night fellowships. Just like we're going to have next week. I like getting around and just enjoying talking to people and seeing people laugh. Family camp was great. Get away from everything. No cell phone coverage, no TV, no internet, all that fun stuff. And just enjoy fellowship with people that are Christians that love the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. We need fellowship with one another. We have got to get a break from the world. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to have their mentality. And we are bombarded all day long with junk from the world. Today, people are going to go home after church, and they're going to do what most people do, and flip on that TV and watch a football game. You'll be watching that football game, and all of a sudden, it's going to go to commercials. And guess what's going to be going on? Junk. Why is it that the beer commercials are always the best ones? Why is that? It's true. You get Super Bowl Sunday, the ones that are funniest ones, the ones that, you know, catch everybody's eyes, Budweiser. That's how it is. Why? Because the devil wants to infiltrate. The devil wants to wear us down. Not only that, he wants to attack the world and get them to a point where they will be in a place where they will not trust Christ as their Savior. And we are bombarded. You go to work, you don't work, most of the people don't work with Christian people. You may hear swearing, you may hear music, you don't know what's going to come out. Filthy jokes. You can take a stand and say, hey, I don't want that to be said around me. And guess what they're going to still do? There's still going to be people that are going to do it. No matter what you say. Why? Because we are bombarded. Because we live in a world that is full of sin. Everywhere we go, you go to the grocery store, there it is. I love the winter. You know why I love the winter? Because people have to put some clothes on. True. I hate the summer because I can't go to the grocery store without seeing somebody dressed inappropriately. And I'm constantly looking down. I remember I was talking to Casey a couple of years ago, and he talked about how he went to Las Vegas to go for a conference that they had for McDonald's. And he said, I would sit there and I would walk through places, and I'd have my eyes looking down because he didn't want to look at anything inappropriate. And on the ground is stuff that's inappropriate. And he's like, I don't know what am I supposed to do? But that's the world we live in. You walk to the store, and there it is. Staring right in your face. You drive around, you get people listening to music, and they think that they need to turn it up so that everybody can hear what they're listening to. So I pull up, now here's somebody that's got their rock and roll turned up, so you know what I'll do? I'll take my CD, and I'll take the walkers, and I'll turn them up too, and say, here you go, you can listen to this. But we are bombarded with sin. We have temptations all the time. And that is why we need to come and get out of the world for just a little bit. You can enjoy your time at home. And your home can try, you can try and make it as safe a place as you can. But still, the devil will try to infiltrate it. Turn on your internet. There it is. For some reason, they like news articles. To have some person that's sitting there talking about how their performance was at some concert or whatever and the things that they did. You can't get away from it. But here we can. When we come together at Heritage Baptist Church and we gather together and we start singing, that piano plays, that's music that glorifies God. This isn't a church, and Pastor Shear will not stand for it to have a church that has the world in our music. And I agree with them 100%. I love sitting there hearing people like Brother Bierman that came up and just sang a wonderful song. It wasn't about his voice. It wasn't about his talents. It was about reaching people around the corner. You knew what the message was. You heard it. And God was glorified from it. We can stand up and we listen to our pastor who preaches God's word to us, and we can be filled with the scriptures. I love that he says, take out your Bible and read with us. Why? He wants you to know what the Bible says. He's not up here to make you feel good. He's not up here to make you think that you're all happy and life is great. He may step on your toes just a little bit. He may make you feel a little uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. Amen. That's a pastor who loves his people. And we have a pastor that loves his people. And he's not afraid to say it. Amen. We need Heritage Baptist Church. We need the fellowship of each other. We need to know that we're not in this all alone. You're going through heartaches. You're going through sorrows. And your parents are sick. You've been in a car accident. You fell down the flight of stairs and you're banged up. Your dad's getting tests and trying to figure out what's going on with his heart. You need church. Why? Because we're here for each other. We're here to lift each other up. We're here to encourage. And God has given us this desire in our hearts that we're supposed to do that. But the problem is that some of us just struggle a little bit because we're a little scared of it. We're scared of getting hurt by people that shouldn't hurt us. We go through hurt, and a lot of times what we want to do is stay at home. We go through hurt because at least at home, nobody's going to hurt me. At church, it should be a place where they're to lift each other up. It shouldn't be the squabbling, the backbiting, and all of that. It should be a place where we can come together and say, hey, let me encourage you while you encourage me. Let me help you as you help me. Because we need each other. Because this is all we got. How many of you have family members that are here in Great Falls? How many don't? Well, Bierman's, you're cheating. How many of your family does not live in Great Falls? There you go. Half the crowd. And the other half that are across the way, they don't have family either. This is it. And I have my parents. My brother lives in Columbus, Ohio. My sister's down in Colorado Springs. My aunts and uncles are spread out from Pennsylvania to California to Colorado. My grandparents are gone. That's it. But when I came to church here, guess what I found? Grandma Carol. She became a grandma. Grandma Gibbons. She became a grandma. I don't call her Mrs. Gibbons. Never have. I go up, hey, Grandma Gibbons, how you doing? Why? She's my grandma. Because we're all part of that family. I need her. Why? Because the church doesn't sound right without the organ being played. But I need her too because she encourages me as I encourage her. We need each other. But sometimes we just kind of shut up a little bit because we live in a place where people come and go. The Beermans are taking off on us, and I'm still mad at them for it. The Salcedos, they took off on us. When I was, my dad was in the military, it seemed like every 2 years we were making new friends. Because we would move to a new base, 2 years later, the friends that we had that had already been there, they're getting orders, they're PCSing out, and then 2 years later, the friends that we just made were breaking up with them and taking off somewhere else too. It seemed like every 2 years, we had new friends. What it did is it fused my brother and sister and I to be very close, which probably not the best thing because of how much we fought. But you know what we didn't do as kids? Say, well, you know what? They're leaving, so I'm not making any more friends. Amazing how kids don't do that. Now some, they take a little bit longer to get used to some people. But kids, they can have friends that leave, and guess what? They'll make new ones. Somebody else comes around, hey, Marcus, he'll go to, and I got to watch him, he'll go to McDonald's, and he'll go up to a kid and say, hi, my name's Marcus, what's yours? And he'll say, they'll say their name. He says, great, you're my friend, let's go play. Innocent. He looks at somebody and says, hey, you're just like me, let's be friends and have some fun together. And at church, I wish we kind of had a little bit of that. But what happens is we say, I made friends. They were good friends. And they left. And it hurt. I don't like that hurt feeling. So instead of having the hurt, what I'll do is just, I'll be a little bit friendly. I'll say hi. I'll shake the hands. But that's pretty much it. Because I'm too guarded. Got the wall up because I don't want people to hurt me. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. As kids, easy to do. As adults, not so much. We almost want a questionnaire. All right, fill out this piece of paper. It's got all these different types of information. What's your name, your age, what types of things do you like? If it matches what I like, we can be friends. If you fill out an answer incorrectly, sorry. I shake your hand and that's about it. And we laugh about it, but we judge people. We judge them based off of how they look. We have visitors that come in, and they want to join our church, and we're hoping that it's like the Buells and the Beermans that have been brought up in church, and you know, they're kind of already groomed. They know how they're supposed to dress. They know how they're supposed to talk. You know, there's a certain level already that's a little bit there. You know, we can put them right in to teach Sunday school and not have to worry about what they're going to do. But then there's somebody that comes that's not really got the shirt, the tie. Maybe they're not dressed just like how we would think that they should. And we're like, oh. Well, we'll wait until the Holy Spirit works on them. And then when they're at that level, then we'll become their friends. Then we'll socialize with them because, you know, I'm a little worried about that. And then they come in, they sit down in our chairs. Preacher will say, hey, give me 3 minutes. Which means, don't leave the auditorium for 3 minutes. Socialize, shake hands, introduce yourselves to the visitors, talk to them, make them feel welcome. But, hey, game's on. Gotta get home. Gotta beat everybody to the restaurant. Because everybody else is going to get out of church and, you know, Golden Crow's going to fill up real quick. So we got to hurry up. Get the kids loaded up. Hurry up. We can talk later. And we kind of bolt. And we lose the fellowship. Sunday morning, we need fellowship. You need to get around other people and know you're not in this alone. We struggle with the same thing you struggle with. And we're here for you. But you've got to take that step to be friendly. We call ourselves Montana's Friendliest Church, and preacher will say it's because we're plumb lonely. But we better live up to that. And we can't just sit there and look at people and say, well, I don't know about you, so I'll just watch you for a long period of time. Nancy Ross, she'd go up and talk to anybody. Sometimes you stand there waiting in line to talk to them, and she's talking to them, and you're like, do-do-do-do-do. But you know what she is? She's friendly. People will say, hey, I talked to that Nancy Ross. She made me feel at home. She asked me where I live, what I do, my background. She let me talk. And she talked, and then we had a conversation. Why? She's friendly. She shows herself friendly. If you have nobody here at Heritage Baptist Church that you can talk with and be friends with, do you know whose fault it is? It's yours. It's your fault. You are in it on your own. Because you've got to make yourself friendly. You've got to break down that wall and say, I may get hurt. They may leave. They may update their dream sheet and then a week later get orders to Italy. I don't know who that could be. And they may end up leaving right when we are really starting to get to be good friends and close. But you know what? Then you'd sit there and you could either look at that and say, I don't want to be friends with them because that might happen. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to draw close to them. I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to talk to people and associate with them. And if they do leave, hey, I've got another friend that's in Italy. Friends that'll last a lifetime. I'm not ashamed of the time that we got to spend together. I don't regret it one bit. We've got to put the effort behind it. We are made in the likeness of God. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. We use that for marriage and companionship, but the simple fact is, it's not good for you to be by yourself. It's not. God said, I need some companionship. So I'm going to make this world. Why did he make the world? For us. He made the stars. Why? For us to enjoy. He made the animals. Why? For us to have dominion over them. And Wyatt Walker found a scripture in the Bible where it talks about how we're able to not only have dominion over them, but they're supposed to be for our food too. Right, boys? So you can shoot what you want. Just eat it. I remember he came up to me and said, this is my favorite verse right here. Wyatt did. We're supposed to have dominion. So God made all these things for us. He made the trees, why? For our oxygen. He made all the fish for us to eat. He made the sea for us to enjoy. He made the stars for us to gaze up and look at. And then he made Adam for him. So the world was made, not, and the world does glorify God. It talks about that, how they bowed down to him. But the world was made for our enjoyment. That's why he didn't just make, you know, just a flat land and then just put us in it with no stars or anything else. He made it for us. But then he made Adam for him so that he could have somebody to talk with. When Adam sinned, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, looking for some fellowship, looking for Adam. Adam was hid, though, because he had sinned. But God said, you're made in my image. I want fellowship. I need fellowship. So do we. We need it. Why is it that we need it? Because we can bear each other's burdens. I wrote this down. If it's important for you, you're going to make time for it. If it's important, you're going to make time. Well, we had a busy day yesterday. My wife and I, we got up. We got here at the church 10:30 for soul winning. Then Becky had her grand opening at her shoe store in the mall. So we went over there to show support for her. Then the Beermans had a birthday party, so we sped from there over to the Beermans' birthday party. We, Clyde and I were supposed to watch football last week, but Justin Brown had to ruin that and get ordained, and shame on him. And so that took that away, so we rescheduled it for today, or for yesterday. So we left the Beermans, went over to the Buells, and Marcus decided to get sick, and so we went home. But you know what? Each one of those things was important to us. So we made the time for it. Now, I could have said, hey, hockey game's on at 11 o'clock. I'm going to sit home and enjoy it. I could have. But it was important for us to go to each and every one of those places that we went to. So we made time for it. Why? Because I need that fellowship. I need you. You need me. Why? Because we need to bear each other's burdens. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're supposed to be there to lift each other up. But isn't it interesting how it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and then just a few verses down in verse 5 it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Why are the two different? Bear ye one another's burdens, but every man will bear his own. The reason for that is this. You are going to bear your burden whether you get around anybody else or not. It's yours. I have no idea what you go through. I don't. I don't know what our pastor goes through. I'll be honest with you. And his son, Chad, does not know fully what he goes through. He has a better understanding than me because he's a little bit closer, just that extra step. They're around him more. They talk to him. They see things that I don't see. And so they have a better understanding of what he's going through. But to be honest, Pastor Shear's bearing his own burden. That's true. Why is that? Because we go about our lives and he's left with it. We can try and help him and encourage him. And that's what we're supposed to do according to verse 2. We're supposed to be there for each other, to lift each other up, to encourage, to try to be there to ease some of the pain and the heartaches. But at the end of the day, we go home. At the end of the day, we hang up the phone. We go back to our own family, to our own burdens, to our own problems, and you are left to go through your burden by yourself. So you can do one of two things. You can either just say, pushing everybody else out, rolling it up, and I'm just going to sit here and bear my burden. Or you can go out and say, you know what, I'm going to look for somebody else who has a burden too and try to encourage them. And then they're going to encourage me. And yes, I may go home and I may still have to bear my burden, but at least I've got somebody else to help me out for just a little bit and encourage me. We've got to do that for each other. Then at the end of the day, when everybody else is gone, we're left with that burden. God says, hey, take my yoke upon me. He said, I'll take your burden. You take mine. For mine is light. It's easy. I'll take your heavy load. I've said this before about a guy. He was walking down the road and he had his 50-pound pack of potatoes and he was carrying it. And this guy pulled over in a truck and he said, hey, where are you headed? He said, I'm headed to town. He said, jump in. And the guy jumped in and he took that sack of potatoes and he kept it up on his shoulders. And the guy looked at him and he said, what are you doing? He said, why don't you put those potatoes down on the floorboards there? Relax. And the man foolishly said, well, you know, you're already carrying me. I didn't want you to have to carry my burden of my potatoes too. We think, man, that's foolish. That's crazy. The truck's already carrying the weight of all of it. That makes absolutely no sense. And it doesn't make any sense when you hold on to your burdens yourself and try to figure it out on your own rather than giving it to God. We'll hold on to it and we'll try to figure it out on our own. And we'll say, I've got to bear my burden and I'm going to endure this pain. Rather than saying, all right, God, here it is. God, instead, we have that mentality. God, you've already saved me from hell. You've already promised me a home in heaven. You've already done the work of dying on the cross and shedding your blood. So I guess this heartache that I got, I'll figure it out. Because you've already done so much. We may not actually say that, but that's our attitude when we try to go in it on our own. Amen. Instead of just giving it to God. We look to bear each other's burdens. And then we give the weight to God and say, God, you take this. I can't deal with it. But you can. And then I'm gonna have joy in my heart. On Wednesday, I said a little bit about joy. Joy is the expectation of something that's good that's going to happen. The problem is we don't have joy. We don't expect God to do anything for us. We just kind of hunker down and just say it'll pass eventually. Instead of having joy in our heart to say, hey, something good's going to happen. I don't know what. Jim Holland is not here. They had to leave. But he's been in the hospital for 8 days. We were talking before church and he said, you know, he said, while I was in the hospital, what I do is I give out Bibles to people that are up there with me. And from that 8 days, he had 3 people that trusted Christ as his Savior, as their Savior. 3 people. Now, he could have said, man, I'm hospitalized. I didn't like this. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. I'm just going to bear my burden and hunker down and endure. Endure hardship like a good soldier. So I'm just going to bear it. No, he said, I'm going to have some joy. I know something good is going to come out of this hospital stay. And so I'm going to have some joy in my heart. And so I'm going to start handing out some Bibles and talking to people about God. And 3 people now are on their way to heaven because he had some joy. He expected some good to come out of the trial that he was facing. That's what joy is. That joy can only come from God. When we're looking for him to do something in our lives. We've got to have each other. We have got to have the fellowship here for each other. When you're going through a heartache, people don't want to sit there and have you talk about all the things that you're going through. They just want to hear simply, hey, we're praying for you. They don't want you to try and talk and say, I understand what you're going through. I went through something like it. I know how you feel. They don't want to hear that. They just want to hear, I'm praying for you. God put you on my heart this morning. I was praying for you. Sure do hope Mike's okay. I've been praying for you. That does something to someone. But Marsha had been praying for you about that accident. Oh, there's a lot of things that you're going through. We were talking with the Reeves, and it's almost the exact same story of the Brockmans down in Colorado. The exception is, she's paralyzed. Because they rolled, and you didn't. People have been praying for you. But that does something to you. It just says, I'm not in this by myself. I've got people. I've got a support system of a church people that are like-minded, that love God like I love God, that want the best. We may not be perfect. We may make mistakes. We may hurt each other. We may do things that God's not proud of, and we're not proud of. But it's not where we're at in our Christian life that makes the difference. It's the direction in which we're going. When I look for somebody, I'm looking for somebody that is going in the same direction as me, with the same goals. They may be more spiritual than me. I may be more spiritual than them. I don't know. But what matters? Hey, we're headed in the right direction. We want to love God. We want to serve God. We want to do right. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But we're there for each other as a church. And we've got to be here for one another. We can't go in it on our own. We've got to have each other's help. And then more importantly, we've got to give our burdens to God. And then have some joy in our heart that something good is going to come from it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. Lord, I know I have not done the best that I could do in this area. I know there's areas that I could probably work on. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. Neither is anybody else here. But I pray, Lord, that as a church, we would band together in one accord, with one mind, that we're going to follow you. We're going to shine so that others may see our light and glorify our Heavenly Father. But we're going to have joy in our lives, that we're expecting good, something to come from it. But I pray that you'd help us to gather together and encourage one another. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You can't have joy in your heart unless you first have known Jesus is your Savior. Without Him, you are truly in whatever you're facing by yourself with no help. But there's good news. The good news is that Jesus wants you to trust Him as your Savior, and then you become adopted in the family of God. If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, but you'd like to find out how you can, I'd like to pray for you. If you just simply raise your hand, just up and down, if you'd better like that today, all right? By our showing of our hands, or the lack thereof, we're all Christians in here. But maybe today in your heart you're thinking, you know what, I need to do a better job of bearing somebody else's burdens, fellowshipping and getting that wall broken down. As everyone is standing their feet as the piano begins to play, we're just going to have a short time of invitation. It won't be very long. But maybe God's working on something in your heart. The altar's open. You can come forward, kneel, and pray. Nobody's going to pester you, find out why you came. It's between you and God. Maybe God's working on your heart that has nothing to do with what was preached about this morning. But you know you need to come forward and kneel and pray. Altar's open for you. But how are you doing? Are you showing yourself friendly, or you kind of just doing your own thing? Bolting before anybody else can talk to you. You have no idea what everybody else is going through because you're so consumed with yourself. You're not even looking. We are bombarded on every side by this world. If we don't have each other, it's going to be pretty lonely, pretty hard. It could be a matter of time before someone slips and falls. And ask again if you're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. If not, take that first step out. Come down the aisle. I'll meet you in front. We'll have a man show a man, a lady show a lady how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven from what the Word of God says. It's not joining a church. It's not getting baptized. It's simple faith. Maybe today you've never been scripturally baptized, down in the water, back up out of the water, representing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to join our church today. But how are we doing, Heritage Baptist Church? Are we in it for ourselves just to show up, fill our seat, go home, say we've been at church? Are we putting the effort out? Are we coming together, supporting our pastor and all that he does, and encouraging him, encouraging each other? Lord, I thank you for the decisions that were made this morning. Lord, only you know exactly what they were. Lord, there may be people that stayed at their seats and prayed. I don't know, but you do. Lord, I pray that you would take those decisions and seal them in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to not just be stirred just a little bit by what was said. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to change. Do a little bit better. Do a little bit more for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to support our pastor and to love him and encourage him. And then also to encourage others, too, that are here. Help us to truly have that name, Montana's Friendliest Church, not just as a title, but let it be our way of life. In your name, amen. All right. Tonight we'll be having our services at 6 o'clock. Brother Ortez will be preaching, so we're excited about that.